The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to TMZ Live, Harvey Levin here.
Charles here.
So literally a half hour ago, Diddy's homes in Los Angeles and Miami were raided by Homeland Security. And everything we're hearing is this is in connection with the human trafficking, the sex trafficking allegations that have been made against him in the various civil cases.
And clearly now the feds are investigating this. As you can see, the dramatic footage outside his home here in L.A., where they had several people out in the front yard for questioning.
Now that, just,
and then actually there were people who were cuffed eventually, including two of Diddy's sons. Now we don't know at this stage if they have been booked for anything, but they were in handcuffs.
And I want to say this quickly because they were in handcuffs. But a lot of times they do that to get them out of the house because they don't know their status. It doesn't mean they're suspects or arrested.
Right.
It could be, but it doesn't mean that.
Right.
And so this is a typical thing that happens. But this is a federal investigation in two states. And, you know, we talked about the various civil allegations. This is a whole new level.
Right. This would be, obviously, they're looking into criminal. The feds are looking into a criminal charge here, but nothing has been announced yet. And we also don't know where Diddy is at this point.
That's right. So he usually lives primarily in Miami. That's usually where he's at anyway. He flies around, obviously, but Miami seems to be his home base. No visual, no word, no official report or anything of him being under arrest or detained or anything. But in any case, it's obviously D-Day, no pun intended. Look, can I be honest with you? I had a suspicion this would happen at some point because of the mounting lawsuits. Despite all the denials from Diddy, they kept mounting and they kept mounting. The same thing kept being brought up. Alleged human/sex trafficking. And at a certain point, the federal government is not going to turn a blind eye to that, right? And, I mean,
they at least say, we should look into this.
Well, by the way, this is more than we should look into this. They had to get a search warrant, which means that they had to convince a judge that there was probable cause to believe that there was indeed sex trafficking, human trafficking. So this is not just a probe. This is presenting evidence to a federal judge saying, we have probable cause to believe Diddy is involved in human trafficking. And as a result, warrants got issued in both Los Angeles and Miami. Right. So that's how serious this is right now. By the way, we have been blowing up the phones of his various lawyers, and they are indisposed right now.
Right.
They are not talking. We've also been...
Imagine they're in a war room somewhere.
Right.
The other thing I was going to mention real quick, and I'm sure this came to somebody's mind, but this very much reminds me of the R. Kelly saga. I mean, for a long time, R. Kelly was, you know, just living his life, doing his thing, and all of a sudden, one day, law enforcement gets involved, he gets arrested, and the rest is history. I'm not saying the same is going to happen here from Diddy, obviously, but this is sort of the start of usually how that stuff like that goes.
It is the same playbook. You notice there are a lot of public allegations made either in a documentary, in the case of R. Kelly, in the case of Diddy, in several lawsuits, and it gets the feds, their antenna go up, and then the investigation starts.
What is really interesting, fascinating about all of this is it started with Cassie. And, you know, that's his ex. And this whole thing probably would have never come out from under the rug because he could have settled it.
Right.
And he wouldn't settle it, and I guess he called her bluff.
Right.
But then she files this lawsuit making all these horrific allegations. The next day, he settles with her. But because it all became public, other women then came forward, in particular, a Jane Doe.
In December, who alleged that she was 17 when Diddy and his associates sexually assaulted her. And she also alleged human and sex trafficking in that lawsuit. So, and we've seen it pop up in another more recent lawsuit filed here in LA. So,
this is unconfirmed, but we have reason to believe that the feds have spoken to at least one of these women before getting this search warrant. And as a matter of fact, it really makes complete sense. In order to show probable cause, you have to show that there's something untoward that happened, and it would be probably a declaration from one of those women. Yeah. And we have reason to believe at least one of them, and it's a Jane Doe, was either in touch directly with Homeland Security or with via her lawyer.
And to Harvey's point from earlier, when Cassie opened the floodgates, because she was the first one to do that, such a high-profile person in a high-profile relationship with Diddy, obviously that opened the doors, and I'm sure he's regretting playing chicken with her because he clearly lost, and now he's sort of paying for it, I think.
Hey, I'm Trey from Atlanta, Georgia. All this is just so unfortunate. Ever since that Cassie lawsuit, his life has literally been in shambles. Like, we're literally seeing the downfall of Diddy right in front of our eyes. The most unfortunate part is I hated seeing the two kids in handcuffs. They probably had no idea what was going on, Like, at the end of the day, like, salute and thoughts and prayers to everyone involved. Hopefully something. And where is Diddy at? Where does he go? He had to be tipped off. Where is he at?
We don't know at this moment where Diddy is. There's a chance we've heard he might be on
Miami.
A jet.
Yeah.
And we heard Miami.
Miami and that he was about to get on a jet and then didn't get on.
Going to New York.
Right.
And by the way, it looks like the Southern District of New York is handling this, which is interesting because it's not New York where they're searching right now.
Right.
Okay, we're going to move on.
All right, yes, to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce on vacation. We knew that they were in the Bahamas last week. We'd seen a couple of murky videos that people said were them. Now we have some clear photos of the kind of fun they were up to down in the Bahamas. And
they are together.
The photos look just, I don't
know. This is a hot and steamy vacation, you guys. They are getting it. I mean, at one point you could see they're laying down on the sand and he has his hand on her booty, which, by the way, we never really get pics like this of Taylor Swift where she's like in a bikini or like showing, like revealing, showing her skin.
Yeah, the last time we did was when she was with another guy.
Yeah.
Ooh, and actually, remember we had mentioned that she also went to the Bahamas with Joe Alwyn. And if you do a side-by-side of them in the water when they
were
photographed.
That's Joe back in 2022.
Oh my gosh.
That's Travis.
I mean, there's only a couple of different ways to, of course it's going to be the same.
But it's in the same location, the same pose, the same kiss.
That Bahamas water, you guys, it just does something to you, I guess.
Now, there was a Jacob in our office was the thing that all he could focus on with them kissing in the water is the drink that he's saying, is that glass? Should she bring
a
glass?
Gosh,
it has to be plastic. So, Jacob just never has taken a vacation in his life, so he just doesn't understand.
But anyway, look,
back here now.
Yeah, they came back to LA and over the weekend. I think this is actually really interesting. So they decided to go to lunch, and there are plenty of places to go. They chose Nobu in Malibu,
which is a decent drive from her place in Beverly Hills.
20 miles at least.
Uh-huh.
But you guys,
they got a nice table over. How did they get such a good table?
I don't know. It's just amazing. So they're sitting outside.
Looking over the ocean.
And here's the thing about Nobu, and I just think this is interesting. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of restaurants in LA. Many of them are really good. This is the one place, especially during lunch.
Oh, where you know.
The only place that I can think of where you know they're going to be paparazzi. It's the only place I can think of in LA.
At lunchtime, yes.
At lunchtime.
The spot.
And they chose to go there.
And to sit outside, by the way.
And to sit outside so they could be seen on the sand as well.
And this is a little different because since when they've been in L.A., really we haven't seen Taylor that much. We've seen Travis a few times.
That's right.
But she has been avoiding cameras, and for whatever reason, this weekend decided, maybe it was after the Bahamas, it's the Bahamas afterglow. Now she realized, all right, it's fine. Let's just go out.
So anyway, so it's just kind of interesting that they really wanted a paparazzi moment. Because clearly they
did. To Harvey's point, though, there is another Nobu, right, in West Hollywood, which actually might be closer for them to drive to.
It's a mile and a half.
But you don't have the view.
Paparazzi are really there. I never see paparazzi
there. There's no ocean either.
But Nobu, Malibu, that's where the celebrities go. That's where the paparazzi are at. So, of course, they know they're going to be photographed. But I will say, the view, it's unbeatable.
It's Wade Lucas from Sacramento, California. What an outstanding way to spend a lunch. Out with your significant other, having some cocktails, some lunch, and that view is amazing. We haven't had a celebrity couple like this cool in a long time. And I'm guessing Travis wants to get in as much time as he can because summer workouts with the Chiefs are coming up anytime now.
Unless he retires. I got something else to do. I know he's not.
Maybe this comes as no surprise that the Kardashian-Jenners have found a way into the middle of March Madness, which, of course, is gripping the nation right now.
That's actually really
it's
fun.
Like,
I never thought of it that way, but that's hysterical.
If you're sitting down to watch,
that's hysterical.
To watch the NCAA tournament and you're thinking, all right, this is a Kardashian
free zone. Well, they didn't start this one.
I would say that in a way, Kim set this in motion. You know that we told you weeks ago that Kim Kardashian had enlisted some of the NCAA men's tournament players to do promotion for Skims.
And it isn't enough.
Yeah, but whatever. She's done this with other sports, and it seemed fine. Well, one of the players that is doing the Skims promotion plays for North Carolina, Paxson Wojcik. And this weekend, besides the games, and North Carolina did win, what people were talking about is the fact that Paxson might be chatting with one Kylie Jenner, or that Kylie Jenner had slipped into his DMs.
Well, there were rumblings about this, and he was asked about it in the locker room by some guy.
After their win, by the way, keep in mind, they won, and that means that they're coming to LA. Right.
So they were at, here's what kind of triggered this.
There's a story going on social media that there was a famous person in your DMs by the name of Miss Kylie Jenner. Did you see this? Did you see this?
No comment.
Okay.
I can't speak on it either. No comment. Hey, we're out to LA next week, though.
Hey, you know what? The Jenners live in LA.
No comment.
Well, it's as if he's saying.
I mean, he's leading.
It's as if he's saying we're dating. I mean,
at the very least, he wants people to think they are.
Clearly. I mean, when you say that and the way it's said, and we're coming to L.A. and the whole thing, he wants people to think he's banging Kylie Jenner.
Well, that's not exactly the way somebody else in his world sees it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Charles, because Charlie Neff, actually spoke with Paxton's manager's business manager. These guys have business managers now, and he said that it's not true. They are not dating. They have no relationship. They have never even spoken to one another, and he actually regretted making those comments on camera. So he's trying.
So this
Paxton
is a college kid making a joke, thinking he's going to put himself.
Babcock, I'm sorry. This kid does not regret doing this. Because he was not a big player.
He is not a big player.
And now when they come to L.A., everybody's going to be looking at this guy.
On the game on Sunday.
Everybody's going to be looking at him.
How many minutes? Hold on. They're going to be looking at him on the bench, most likely.
My name is Nina from Ohio, and I really just think he was trying to have fun with his teammates. Didn't realize how impactful the internet really would be and that they were going to take it and run with it. I mean, he made a mistake. He apologized, and hopefully he knows how to move accordingly, moving forward.
I wonder if Kylie knows about this. I wonder if Kylie's saying, hey, he's kind of good looking. Maybe take a shot.
Maybe now, yeah.
So there you go. Okay, we're moving on. So Gisele Bündchen has come out kind of out of the blue. We didn't think this was still a thing, but it is. She is flatly denying rumors, and not just rumors, but some of things that we got from Tom Brady's world that she cheated on him during the marriage, mm-hmm. and is saying that these rumors are really based in sexism.
Yeah. She was talking to the New York Times and flat first denying that she cheated. She said the trope of the adulterous wife is as old as time. In no uncertain terms, she, Giselle, refuted the charge that she had cheated, saying, that is a lie. And then she went on to say, this is something that happens to a lot of women who get blamed when they have the courage to leave an unhealthy relationship and are labeled as being unfaithful.
Now, we're going to get into that second part in a minute.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
I always thought the trope was the other way around.
Me too.
But that's what you always hear.
Absolutely.
What did he do?
Right. And right. They make assumptions.
Right.
But before we get into that, what we posted was people in Tom Brady's world. She said they didn't start dating. She's dating the jiu-jitsu instructor, Joaquin Valente. And she says they didn't start dating until June 2023.
Correct.
And the divorce was filed in late 2022. So that would work for her. Now, our people in Tom's world say, change 2023 to 2021, and
so
then
more
you're
than
accurate.
A full year before Giselle filed the divorce papers.
So she is saying that's flat out not true, that they didn't start dating then. We saw them, Joaquin and Giselle, hanging out in Costa Rica just a couple of weeks after she filed for divorce.
Right.
And that's the first time we ever saw them there. He is their longtime jiu-jitsu instructor, trains the kids, has trained Giselle. Tom hired him.
Right. So there'd be a reason for him to be hanging out with Giselle.
Right. But
and the kids.
Obviously, in Tom's world, they say it was more than just training kids.
So both things can be true, right? That Tom or people in Tom's world think that she was cheating back then, but maybe she wasn't.
Well, that's not both things being true.
That's exactly the point I want to make. We are hearing from people in Tom's world that Tom apparently thinks that she was seeing Joaquin before this, right?
A year before.
But exactly. But the point I want to make is, well, where's the evidence? Aside from your suspicions, where's the evidence? If you don't actually know and you just think in your heart of hearts or your gut, tough luck. I'm sorry. You don't have any evidence. Maybe we just take her at her word, and maybe she was just friends with Joaquin, because in her interview here, she goes on to say, I'm in a relationship now with Joaquin. She didn't say his name, but we know who she's talking about, with somebody who I was friends with first and I'm now seeing romantically. It's natural. It progressed on a natural basis. So again, like, sure, Tom's people feel whatever a certain way, but unless you have the proof, eat it. Honestly, shove it and eat it.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, just so you know, they're not disclosed. And first of all, it's irrelevant to the divorce.
Exactly.
That's number one.
Nothing to do with the divorce.
And so that's never going to come out where they're going to give receipts if they have them. But I want to get to the second thing she said, because I don't think that's fair.
Well,
where she's saying that whenever a woman leaves a marriage, they go after the woman.
By the way,
I don't think that's fair.
Her calling it an unhealthy relationship also seemed like a real
shot. It's
shot.
A huge thing.
I mean, unless she's taking part of the blame for the unhealthiness, but it didn't feel like that.
It doesn't feel like that.
Didn't feel like it.
This shows that
the courage to leave an unhealthy relationship.
Now I want to get into that it's unfair when a woman leaves the marriage that they're the ones that are, you know, scorched. It's just not true.
It's not the trope that I have always heard. Like, I mean, it happens in this room every day when we talk about couples breaking up. And
the guy must have done something.
The room goes, well, what did he do?
The guy must have done something.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I don't think this is.
But our perspective is the male perspective. I don't know. Maybe women.
No, people
like
in the
that.
People in our morning meeting, everybody said that. I mean, it's not true. I mean, there are plenty of women who have been divorced that we've seen, public divorces.
I'm Ryan Rodal. My TikTok is Fast Nutrition. And my thoughts on the situation, I think that Giselle was deflecting from the situation. Because as you know, the whole time she had been seeing her trainer for about a year beforehand. So I think she was cheating on at least some sort of emotional level. Maybe it wasn't physical, but I think she was cheating on an emotional level.
Well, one of the stars of Stranger Things has got a little side hustle going. Brett Gelman, who plays Murray on Stranger Things, is now an author. He has written a book of short stories, and he's already hit a little bit of a speed bump. Doesn't have anything to do with the book or the stories, but it's really about Brett's very passionate defense of Israel since the terrorist attack on October 7th. And there is now some backlash as he's been out trying to promote the book. We actually last month saw this with Matisyahu.
Right,
Who
they canceled shows.
Canceled his shows. Well, Brett's run into a very similar thing on the road promoting his book, but he is here to talk to us about the book and about some of those rescheduled gigs. So joining us right now is Brett Gelman. Welcome to TMZ Live.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Hey, good to see you.
Why don't you tell us, because the book isn't about the war, but your position in the war has had consequences. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I've been an advocate for Israel and its right to defend itself. That doesn't mean that I'm not critical of the Netanyahu government, and that also doesn't mean that I don't empathize with the innocent Palestinians who are dying. You know, it doesn't mean I'm for war, but I've been vocal in stating that Israel has a right to defend itself after it was brutally attacked on October 7th, and unfortunately is dealing with an enemy that can't be negotiated with. And this, I mean, Hamas.
Well, so what has happened
with your, yeah. So I know last week you were supposed to be in San Francisco.
So like, yeah, three
in Israel. Yeah. I mean, in Illinois.
Three bookstores canceled, one in San Francisco, one in Winnetka, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. And then most recently, Book Soup in Los Angeles, in West Hollywood, I believe. And they pulled out due to what they said were security concerns. I made it very clear, and my publisher made it very clear, that I was willing to provide security. I would never expect a bookstore to pay for security.
It's sort of like in comedy, timing is everything. Did you ever consider not having the book published now? Just because in a way, you kind of knew this was going to happen, right? Given what you just said, the backdrop of anti-Semitism and the and the criticism over the war. Did you ever consider, let's hold it for a while?
I mean, no, I didn't. That's a good point. That's actually the first time that's ever been brought up. I mean, I guess hindsight is 20/20, but at the same time, I think I might have still decided to move forward as I did, because I just think that this type of intimidation that's happening, I think it's pure Jew hatred, and I don't think it's pro-Palestinian. I think it's anti-Jew, and I think it's important that we don't back down and don't change the course of how we're doing things just because people are coming at us, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was thinking over the weekend about this, that in a way, Hamas figured this whole thing out, that they knew that what they did on October 7th would trigger this kind of an invasion, and that they hid underneath civilian areas and in civilian areas. And they probably knew that if Israel acted, that a lot of people would turn against them because of the casualties with innocent civilians. So they almost calculated this so that people would turn against Israel. So ironically, what they did on the 7th
was
the first step in an endgame to turn the world against Israel.
I completely agree. I mean, you know, Hamas, unlike, you know, my fellow liberals, are able to see how another type of person thinks. And so they were able to see, you know, they did the classic thing that's done to the Jewish people, make them into the thing that people hate the most right now, which in this case is the oppressor, you know? And so by building their tunnels under civilian communities, by putting their military bases in hospitals and schools, they have a win-win situation, because we're talking about a people that really don't care about death. I mean, death is a good thing to Hamas. They believe in this war. This war is not about any type of resistance against Israel. It is about removing the Jewish state. And so doing that, they killed a bunch, you know, they performed the worst massacre on the Jewish people since the Holocaust. And then, of course, they know Israel's going to have to retaliate. And when they do so, they're unfortunately going to have no other choice but to kill innocent civilians, you know, as collateral damage, which is so deeply tragic. And I am horrified by, but at the same time, Israel did not start this war.
You know, Brett, I know that you've had some difficulty getting these events off the ground. Are you, by the way, are you rescheduling any of them? I want to give you a moment to tell people about the book, since you have a platform here.
No, I appreciate it, guys.
The Terrifying Realm of the Possible.
No, I love you guys. Stories. Yeah, I love you guys. I so deeply appreciate this. Yeah, the book, I mean, it's a pretty Jewish book. It's like definitely like a bullet of Jewish neurosis. You know, I wanted to bring back that classic, like, you know, really ultra neurotic Jewish comedy. And it's done in a pretty surreal sort of stream of consciousness way. It follows five characters, a kid, a teenager, an older woman, an adult, and a person in the afterlife. And they're all sort of like extensions in some ways of me, but also like fear of what I could become or what I was in the past. And it's not autobiography, but it's definitely like, it's definitely got pieces of me all over it. And, you know, I just wanted to laugh at the darkness of my own neurosis, my own self-hatred, and either have people relate to that or enjoy not being me as they read it.
Anyway, congrats on the book.
Congrats on the book.
Thank
and
you guys.
Hopefully you can reschedule some of these and actually get out there. And, you know, I know you're encouraging a discourse, and I think that's a good thing that people should be talking
about.
Yep. It should be a conversation, and thank you for having to do that, too. You're encouraging it, too, way more than me. So I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure having you on.
Thanks,
thank
Brett.
You.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Brett.
You, guys.
Okay. We are going to take a break.
Yes, and when we come back, Rebel Wilson says there's one person that she's had to work with in Hollywood that she describes as a massive word I can't use. And she wants to talk about this in her upcoming book.
It's a celebrity, by the way.
It is a celebrity. And she says this celebrity is trying to shut it down. Well, guess what? She actually went out and named the celebrity anyway. When we come back, you'll find out who she's got it out for and why.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Stopping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Welcome back to TMZ Live. Rebel Wilson has a story to tell, but she says someone in Hollywood, a big someone in Hollywood, is trying to shut down at least part of her story. She's writing a memoir, and she had hinted in Rebel Rising, there is a chapter, one chapter that is focused on one former co-star of hers. Someone she refers to as a massive...
blank.
Yeah. Can't say that word.
Donkey.
Yeah. That's... part of it, but she'd been teasing this. In fact, she posted a video where, well, here's the video, and here's how she describes this person that's going to be in this chapter.
When I first came to Hollywood, people were like, yeah, I have a no policy. Means like, yeah, I don't work with. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that sounds sensible, logical. But then... it really sunk in what they were meaning by that, older people in the industry, because I worked with a massive and yeah, now I definitely have a no policy. The chapter on said is chapter 23. That guy was a massive.
She is talking about Sacha Baron Cohen.
And she... and apparently
they did a movie together.
There's been a whole battle going on behind the scenes about this chapter between lawyers and I'm sure the publishing company.
It sounds like there was a threat coming from Sacha Baron Cohen.
Right.
From his team.
She eventually, this is the movie that they did together in 2016, was it? I don't even really remember this movie. What was it called? The Grimsby?
It's called The Brother Grimsby.
I remember it.
Really?
I didn't see it, but I remember it coming out.
Huh.
And what's so interesting is that even though this chapter hasn't come out yet, the book hasn't come out, we don't know what Rebel's going to say. Sacha Baron Cohen's rep issued us a statement this morning just denouncing everything she was going to say. They're already saying that she has lacked evidence and documents and film footage and eyewitnesses will all back up Sasha and not Rebel. So it's just interesting that they're trying to get out ahead of this, even though we don't even know what's been said.
It's clear from what Sasha's people are saying that, and they know what's in the chapter, obviously, that it sounds like it's something that happened while they're making the film,
right?
Maybe off camera, that was going on set, that she now wants to tell her side of the story.
Can I tell you what's really interesting about this? That obviously they haven't said what it is that she's alleging, but the fact that she hasn't come out and said it, because that's the way people typically promote books. They'll give you a headline and say Sacha Baron Cohen did X, Y, and Z.
Her headline is that Sacha Baron Cohen.
She never said Sacha Baron Cohen.
Well, she eventually did, by the way.
Well, eventually.
Even though
did.
She teased in that video that
right.
she
eventually
then
did.
Said, I will not be bullied or silenced by high priced lawyers or PR crisis managers.
So,
and said, it's Sacha Baron
Cohen. In a way, by only telling a little bit of the story, it does make it more scintillating to read the book.
Sure. She's got a great tease out there.
Right. But on the other hand, to kind of know what it is, it sounds like whatever it is bad enough that Sacha Baron Cohen's team has come back at the book publisher and Rebel, I would think, and said, you better not or else. And so, but we don't know what that is.
Hey, Dave here, Play the Hits live on TikTok. My take is if he is doing everything in his power to stop this from being released behind the scenes, he's got something that he does not want exposed.
Yeah, or it's not true.
He
says it's not true. It's one or the other. But we don't know because we don't even know what it's about. Other than I think you're right.
Would the real shame be now that if it doesn't go in the book, that we never know?
Right. And we'll forget it in 2 days.
Yeah.
What else? Let's move on.
All right. Moving on to Anne Hathaway, who is talking about something that has been, let's face it, it's been kind of whispered around town. Certainly here in Hollywood, we've heard people say this. I don't know about outside of Hollywood, where they felt like Anne was not necessarily liked. Well, not necessarily liked on sets. And she is now acknowledging this, that it was something that was affecting her career. Here's what she had to say about this. She said, a lot of people wouldn't give me roles. She's talking about after she had won the Oscar. She says, a lot of people wouldn't give me roles because they were so concerned about how toxic my identity had become online. I had an angel in Christopher Nolan who did not care about that and gave me one of the most beautiful roles I've had in one of the best films that I've been a part of. And she said that actually turned things around for her, whether he was doing it intentionally for that. It did turn things around for her and that she was then able to get work. Nolan movie, I believe, is Interstellar.
I got to say, look, I mean, I heard these, you know, the rumblings too. I mean, I have a friend who interacted with her, you know, more than several times and said she is such a lovely person.
And I think there's some proof to that, right? Because Christopher Nolan had previously cast her in The Dark Knight. And then he brought her back again. So obviously at least one man, he had a terrific relationship with her and she thought she was fine on set. And so brought her back for another huge hit. And both of those, The Dark Knight and Interstellar, were enormous, you know, multi-$100 million movies.
And by the way, and my friend was not in show business. It was somebody that they interacted with in an organization.
Right.
And they said she was just really a really kind, good person. So there you go.
So.
Thomas Robinson, Cincinnati, Ohio. No, it's always good to have help to get you in places where you need to be, where you already been. It's good to get back. It's just something like that that'll help you out for a real long time. It's always good to have good friends like that.
Can I ask you a follow-up?
Friends in high places.
White interiors seem so difficult to keep clean. I mean, every time I see like a white interior of the car.
Oh, my God.
It's like... how do you keep that clean over time?
Thomas, I'm sorry.
It's actually tan, but for white interior, you got to actually wash it like, or wipe it down like once or twice a week.
I know, but it doesn't look tan to me, but if it's tan, you're cool.
Maybe, okay. Maybe it was white, now it's tan. Was it the booze?
Or yes.
Was it...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Usually,
sorry for jumping the gun there. Sorry.
Usually that is the answer. Was it the booze or was it someone's strong feelings about COVID masks? So Forey J. Smith is one of the stars of Yellowstone, plays Lloyd. Great character if you watch the show. But he says he got kicked off a plane this weekend and there's some dispute. He thinks that it was one thing. The airline seems to think it was another. Here's how Forey laid it out.
I just got kicked off a plane in, where the hell am I at? Houston, Texas. Because I asked, told them that I didn't feel comfortable sitting next to somebody with a mask on. Yeah, I've been drinking. I've been sitting in the airport for 3 hours. Yeah, I'm drinking. I ain't drunk. But they throw me off the plane because I'm drunk. Because you people won't stand up and tell everybody what this is.
Sounds like he got thrown off for drinking. I don't think it was for getting mad. This guy is a very outspoken anti-vaxxer. He didn't go to like the SAG Awards because he's not vaccinated. But I think it was the booze. He might have been
raped. Yeah. He doesn't know what city he's in, Devin.
He doesn't travel a lot. You know,
he doesn't know what city he's in.
He found out he was in Houston.
Eventually. Someone walked by with a sign saying you're in Houston. He's, oh, you mean Houston.
What's up? It's your boy CL representing New York. Hilarious, you know, definitely something that I might do under the influence. But, you know, there's a lot of anti-vaxxers out there. And obviously he wasn't feeling the situation, whether he has liquor up under the mask or what. I definitely agree that he was drunk.
And more to the point, I don't get the, if someone's wearing a mask, it's not hurting you.
You know what? This was not about the mask. It was incidental. Right. It was because he was drunk.
Right. You have what I think is a ridiculous theory.
You say that about everything I say.
Yeah, that's true, actually. But this one in particular, that Bianca Censori is going to be the peacemaker between Kim and
I didn't
Kanye.
Say that. What I said was
you said
what,
no, what, that,
what,
that
what I said was Kim would get in her ear, and that maybe Bianca could talk to Kanye since she has his ear, right,
well,
and maybe
let's see if
calm things down.
Let's see if that has taken place. If that's taken root yet.
Let's see.
Because this weekend Kim and Kanye had to be in the same place once again. They were at a Saints basketball game. And they got along. I mean, nobody was...
He put his hand around
Kanye,
her at one point.
He gave her a church hug. If you guys don't know, a church hug is like when you want to hug somebody, but you're not like all the way there. So you give them a little side hug, a little side tap on the shoulder. But that's still way more than we've seen from Kanye and Kim in forever. We saw Kim and Bianca getting along, you know, not too long ago. I don't know what Bianca has got.
They were standing in the same section at
a concert. The fact that they're standing in the same section and they're not arguing or they're next to each other, because you can still be at the same concert.
She's got not only does she not have beef with Bianca, Bianca is her salvation because it keeps Kanye busy.
Right.
And you know who I think got in their ear for real, for real? North. I think North is the saving grace because North really gets along with Kanye. She's been around Bianca, and Kim knows this, so I feel like for the sake of the kids and the sake of all that, I think North is actually the happy medium.
Stay in that picture. Go back to that picture. That's why I think Kim got in her ear. Bianca, who is famous for wearing nothing, is completely covered up going to dinner at Nobu with Kanye and North over the weekend.
Oh, it was also a little chilly.
It may have been chilly, but that didn't stop her the next day when it was chilly at the Grove. So I think Kim has gotten in, that's at the Grove the next day. So I think Kim has gotten in Bianca's ear, and I just think they're quietly talking. I really believe that.
I don't think so.
What else you guys want to talk about?
Hey, this is Dre Mack from Kansas City, and I'm going to talk about Tom and Giselle. Giselle says, hey, I did not cheat on Tom, which is, I'm glad she is coming to her defense and saying, hey, I did not do that. But this is the only problem that I have. She said that women normally get blamed for cheating. I still got blamed for cheating for something I did in middle school, and I did not cheat. I'm holding my innocence on that.
See?
Way back to middle school.
The guys get it harder.
Early.
The guys
starts
get
early.
It harder. There you
exactly.
go. One more.
Hi, my name is Nicole Nindy, and I just wanted to comment on the T Swift T Kelsey story. It was a beautiful day in LA, so no shock that they were hitting up Nobu. Also, let's remember her album does drop April 19th, so of course you got to get some pre-album drop publicity out there.
Like she needs that. I mean, Taylor Swift needs more publicity.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The album's going to shoot to number one. We know it.
A little date night for Kristen Cavallari and her new man, young man. Not to say that Kristen.
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, Everyone's made a big deal.
She's 37, he's 24.
They were out this weekend at Sugarfish in L.A., and on the way out, some of the photogs wanted to talk about her man's looks. Here's how it plays out.
How you doing, Mark? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
How you guys doing? Hey, how do you find people
Don't
you look like? Arms. You look like a head legion.
Hi, Mark.
How are you doing?
You know what's interesting?
She filled in the blank.
Yeah, the photog couldn't get it out.
Right.
But she clearly thinks it because she said Heath Ledger.
It feels like it's a conversation they've had.
Here's a side-by-side. I kind of see it. I mean, it's not a doppelganger kind of thing.
I don't know how old Heath was in that photo, but Mark, we know, is 24. That's probably a recent photo.
It's kind of...
Not the worst.
Kinda.
You've accused people of looking like someone for far
First
less...
First of all, it's not accusing.
Well, usually when you say it, it is.
Oh, God. This has been a really rough day here.
Happy Monday.
At the Z. We'll see you tomorrow.